Om Shanti. A very warm welcome to everyone here in Harmony Hall and everyone online. Very welcome. And today we have a very special session, a workshop with an angel, a very intelligent angel, Brother Yogesh. And Brother Yogesh is 50 years in Kian, so he brings 50 years of wisdom with him. And he was born for Baba in Malawi in Southeast Africa. And he was 8 years old then. And then he was raised in the UK. And for the past much years, I think he's based in Istanbul. And, well, we have a workshop on AI. And if you type in on your mobile or your computer on AI, when you have a question, you get every answer. But is it reality? What is real intelligence? Today, a workshop on angelic intelligence. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Good morning. And thank you, Sister, for a warm introduction. I hope I am worthy of all of that praise. So, yeah, when I was asked to think of a topic for this session, this is something I've been thinking about recently, the concept of the angel has come up a lot in Baba's Murlis and in Brahmin discussions. And I was also reflecting this morning how the confluence age is a time of extremes. On the one side we see extreme darkness, on the other side extreme light. And so what we have been seeing in the world, there is so much violence, corruption, brutality. And on the other side, Baba is telling us even one waste thought is not acceptable. So what a huge difference between what some humans are doing and what these humans are doing. It's quite extraordinary the guidance we receive from Baba. And also, you know, who could ask you to be an angel? Can any human being say to you, you should be an angel? No, it's ridiculous. But only the one who has become an angel under the guidance of God can suggest to us, help us, take us through the step-by-step process to become an angel. And it's quite extraordinary that the murlis we receive, especially when Bhaktada used to come in Diamond Hall, here we were, you know, hundreds of us from all over the world coming to this secret location in the desert. And God and the number one angel descend onto the stage and we listen to what they say. We receive this guidance and we go back to our cities. We practice that, we share that with others. And it's really one of those moments where you have to pinch yourself that this really happened. Pinch yourself or punch yourself, one of those. But whatever makes you feel intoxicated. So for me, these Avyakt Murlis are really a textbook with regard to how to become an angel. And why? Because Brahma Baba himself had been working on himself so subtly that he's sharing with us what we need to pay attention to. And for me also, Avyakt Murli is like a combination of two things. It's science and it's also poetry. Now, any scientists here? Anybody love science? Only one or two. Okay. Anyway, if you read a science textbook, it may be very informative, lots of data, but it can also be a little boring. And if you read poetry, it can be very flowery, very attractive, very nice, but sometimes a little meaningless. And so for me, Avyaktamurli is like the coming together of science and poetry, where a highly intelligent being is sharing with us secrets of becoming an angel, but in such a beautiful and artistic way that you just want to keep on listening. So what about this word, intelligence? Well, every country has their so-called intelligence services, but it's not really intelligence. It's more about information gathering. And intelligence, in my view, is the correct application of information. And that takes time. It takes time to know how to use all of this information which Bhaktada is giving us. And I feel that every one of us goes through three stages with regard to knowing how to use God's truth. And to some degree, I would say even Brahma Bhava passed through these three stages in his own way. And why it takes time is because although Baba gives us Gyan, but our receiver, our intellect, is corrupt. Our intellect is carrying lots and lots of false beliefs about life. And so it takes time to understand what is God actually telling us. So what are these three stages? I would say stage one is the thesis stage. And thesis stage means in your mind you write a definition about how to use knowledge. You write a definition about what Murli means to you. You write a definition about what service means to you, what family means to you, what yoga means to you. And at that stage we know better, so that's all we can do, is we create a definition about these various aspects. That's the thesis stage. But because that's not maturity, after a while you will find it doesn't satisfy you. After a while you find, this is not really what Baba is teaching. I don't feel so good. And then comes stage two, which is antithesis stage. So we go completely in the opposite direction. So we say, you know, now I understand what Baba is telling. Before, no, that wasn't right, but now I've got it. I'll give an example in just a second. But that also is not maturity of understanding. And after a while, again you will feel this is not quite what Baba is telling us. And then comes stage three, which is the synthesis stage. So thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. Synthesis means maturity of understanding. And when we reach that point in our spiritual journey, you feel very stable, very secure, and your enjoyment of the Brahman life goes to another level. So to take an example, let's say service. When we are new in the Brahmin life, we may be running around doing a huge amount of service. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we volunteer for every service that's going. We even do the service that is somebody else's responsibility. like 110% enthusiasm. So doing, 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 running, running, running. Then after a while, you may feel a little worn out, a little tired, a little exhausted, a little burnt out. So then you go completely the other way and you come to the antithesis stage. And that's where you decide that what service means is not running around doing lots of things. Service means mansa seva. So you spend lots of hours in Baba's room sending sakash to different parts of the world. And if there is a program and you are asked, please can you help? You say, you have my good wishes. But you don't do anything. They say, oh, you people running around, you know, you just don't get it. We have to do mansa seva. But then after a while, because this is also not what Baba is teaching, and you feel also not fulfilled. And finally you come to synthesis stage, where you understand it's not only about doing, it's not only about being, but it is being-based doing. In other words, be soul conscious, be in the right awareness, and also get involved in doing service. As somebody once said, be easy and get busy. Be easy and get busy. If you're only easy, then you will become lazy. If you're only busy, you will become crazy. So we don't want to have either of those two extremes. So I have found that in all the different elements of the Brahmin life, there are these stages. And one reason why we all used to go to dadis and seek advice is because they have done the journey and they knew which point of knowledge is to be applied in which situation. And so the same for us. The more we understand ourselves, explore ourselves, the more we learn how to use truth appropriately. In terms of intelligence, I would say there are four main types of intelligence that people in the world have access to. And then there's another four which are exclusive for all of us. Now, of course, there are so many different types, but let me just go through this little list. So one is, of course, rational intelligence, your IQ, reason, logic, analysis, and so on. The next one up is known as IC, or your intuitive capacity. And the next one up is known as EQ, and as you know, that is emotional intelligence. And then the highest of these is SQ, or spiritual intelligence, which is to do with identity and purpose. But for us, we have more. And I would say the next one up for us is BQ. Now, what do you think BQ might be? BQ is Brahmin intelligence. It's how to be a Brahmin, how to use things at the right time and the right place. If you have, for example, a person with two bowls of white crystals, doesn't know the difference, one is salt, one is sugar, but he doesn't know how to use them appropriately. So he puts salt in his chai, sugar on the potatoes. Ruined the chai, ruined the potatoes. So too it is with us that we sometimes misuse the powers. For example, Baba has told us the power to face is not to be used in the Brahmin family. In a family, when you encounter somebody's sanskaras, we have to learn to tolerate. The power to face is not to be used with each other. I have to face my own Maya and develop tolerance power, because in a family, love and tolerance are features of a family. So which power, which virtue, which point of knowledge is required in which moment? That's an aspect of BQ. Then, next one up is our topic for today, which is AQ, angelic quotient or angelic intelligence. Now, what is the difference between an angel and a Brahmin? Well, an angel is a Brahmin who has completed the journey. And we are fortunate, I think, probably all of us, that we have observed those who reach that stage, our dadis and senior brothers. We saw what that stage looks like in the practical life. And that's why we were so keen to observe our dadis when they were talking, walking, interacting. What does the angelic stage look like? How does it seem when someone is truly detached and loving? How practically is it visible in the relationships? And I would say two main qualifications of an angel is a soul who has gone beyond the feelings of I and mine. And I think that this is probably the greatest of all achievements, is to overcome I and mine feelings, even whilst you're fully involved in service, in relationships, taking care of the family, in all the administration which comes by being part of Baba's service machine. And why this is a big challenge? Because these I and mine feelings are very, very deep inside the soul. For half a cycle, we have been living with I and mine feelings. And these are perhaps the most subtle forms of Maya. Now, Maya, of course, is a master or a mistress of disguise. Once you get to recognize a particular form of Maya, Maya changes form. Because Maya's job is to trick the Brahmins, to trip up the Brahmins. So Maya's creative department is busy all the time, 24/7, finding new ways to fool the Brahmins. And that's where we have to be one step ahead with a clear intellect to recognize when I am being influenced by a form of Maya. Let's take a simple example. Once Baba had said that every single Brahmin soul has one or another speciality. Every single Brahmin soul, one or another speciality. But some of us use that speciality and some of us don't use it. So Baba said the soul which uses that speciality in service, in self-progress, it's like a seed being sown in the ground, and that seed will become a tree and will give fruit. And fruit means some kind of success. You may get some success in service. But then, having reached that stage, the birds of Maya come to eat that fruit. And those birds are the feeling, I have done this. this is my success. It may not even be a conscious thought, but even just a subtle feeling, I have done this. I made so much effort and I have achieved so and so. And at that moment, then, we come down the slippery slope because we have been impressed by our own virtues, or we have been impressed by our own intellect, or our ability to give jnana, or whatever it might be. Now, again, who would ask you to go beyond those feelings? Only someone who has done the journey of becoming an angel. And this is where Baba has made us aware of what he describes as the golden chains. He says you have gone beyond the iron chains, body conscious chains of possessiveness and ego and so on, but the golden chains is what does not allow us to go into the unlimited. That feeling of ownership, even of any success which may have come. Now we saw in our dadis, you know, especially our Dadi Prakashmani, some of you would have seen her, she was playing a very visible role. Her photo was and is everywhere. But yet, the soul was free from the desire for admiration, free from the desire to be noticed, free from the desire to be appreciated in some way. And because of that, Baba was able to use that soul for unlimited service. And how remarkable that, you know, we have seen these examples in front of us. So when my inner space, when my mind is clean, then it invites Baba to come in and take over and work through us. But when there is the pollution or the spiritual dirt of the feeling of I and mine, then whatever service we do, the success would be limited and also it would be hard work. And I'm sure you've all experienced, as I have, sometimes you do some service and at the end of that service you feel so light, so intoxicated. Yeah. Have you experienced that? I guess you have. And other times you do service, you feel exhausted and you just want to go and lie down. And you think, what happened? Yeah. Then you realize, I was not doing it in the right awareness. I had that feeling of I and mine, and that created the heaviness. So we're going to be doing a few exercises as well. Okay, we don't have so much space here, but let's see what happens. I'm going to use the board to show one or two ideas. So, angel means one who lives in the unlimited. So, let's look at it like this. Let's say this here. This represents your awareness opening out into the unlimited. Over here, the awareness is limited. And therefore our understanding of life is very limited. We don't understand who we are, we don't understand what is death, we don't understand what God does, what God doesn't do. And therefore the overwhelming feeling when we are in the limited is we feel very insecure. There's a deep sense of insecurity inside the soul. Now, if you feel insecure, what would you instinctively do? Let's say you're walking along the street and it's been snowing, it's slippery, and you're slipping and beginning to fall. What would you do as you are slipping and falling? You would instinctively put your hand out to grab something, right? To be stable, to be secure. And that's what we have been doing on a mental level for half a cycle. Because of feeling insecure, the mind has been holding on to a certain self-image, certain ideas, certain perceptions, and that became the norm. As a result of feeling insecure, what we do is we hold on. You hold on to something, which then creates a dependency, and it becomes an attachment. So this kind of life is known as the life of Jivan Bandhan. Bondage in life. Bondage in life means your happiness is limited. It means you can only, your mind is free only for a short while, and then something happens which you don't like, your happiness disappears. This is the Laukic life where your inner state is based upon circumstances outside of you. Your inner state is based upon particular behaviors of people in your life. If they behave as you want, you are happy. If they behave as they want, you're not happy. That's the Laukic life. My inner state is based upon outer circumstances. But here, which is where Baba is inviting us, your inner state, your sthiti, your stage, is based upon two things. The light and might of knowledge, and the powers you receive through yoga. And that's something to check. It's an aspect of angelic intelligence. Is my stage based upon the light and might of knowledge? And am I really extracting the power from that? And also, the energy, the strength I get through yoga. Gyan and yoga, these are the two raw materials which make our inner stage strong. So Baba is inviting us up here, and he says, here's a good idea. Why don't you come into the unlimited? And when our awareness is in the unlimited, it's a game changer. When you're in the unlimited, you feel very secure. And when you're secure, what do? You are able to let go. And when you let go, you feel free. And freedom is the prerequisite to real happiness. So Baba is inviting us to be in the unlimited and in the eternal. But how do you go from the limited to the unlimited? How do we make that journey? Well, here is the raw material that we have, and it's the responsibility of each one of us to use this in our lives. That is using gyan. The more I'm able to use gyan in my life, the more I extract power from it. What did we hear today? In today's Murli, he talked about the power of churning. And I remember once being in a particular country, and Dadi Gulzar happened to be there. And the people in that country, the Brahmins, asked her, "Dadi, what should we pay attention to?" And normally, you know, I would expect her to say yoga and certain stages of yoga. But she said, churning. You have to churn more. In fact, when she came to where I am in Istanbul, she also gave this homework. Every day, you have to churn. Every day, do some churning. Why? Because when we churn, we make God's treasures into our own treasures. Having yoga brings new powers from Baba into the soul. But when we deeply churn the knowledge, we awaken the dormant sleeping powers inside us. And I feel this is a huge area for all of us to improve, to really squeeze the maximum power contained inside each point of knowledge. That power is able to take our awareness into the unlimited. And the important word here, I think, is feeling secure. When you feel secure on very deep internal level, the mind just begins to let go. When you feel insecure, the mind is hankering after, chasing after respect, chasing after appreciation, chasing after being acknowledged, chasing after being thanked. And I have found that, you know, when we have these expectations, that you don't realize you have expectations until they are not met. It's only when the expectation is not met and you feel disappointed, then you realize, I had an expectation to be noticed. I had an expectation to be honored in some way. I had an expectation to be, to receive my due praise, as it were. But angel means one who goes beyond those expectations which keep us in the limited. As you may have heard of this phrase, that expectations are an invitation to irritation. So if you feel irritated because of something, it's not because of something. It's because of my expectations which are not fulfilled. And therefore, I am feeling irritated. So angel is constantly, in a very natural way, in a state of self-assessment. Now, the habit we have is the mind points the finger outwards. When something upsets me, something irritates me, the mind points the finger outwards, say, because of him, her, or the other, therefore I feel this way. But we want to be angels, so we point the finger to ourselves. We ask ourselves, why did I become upset in that situation? Why did I allow myself to lose my peace in that situation? Why did I step off my throne of self-respect? Now, due to habit, this will happen again. Again, the tendency to externalize blame will happen. But there, we have to say, no, mind, no, come back, look at yourself. Do not be concerned with the behavior of others. That's their business. But why I lost my happiness is my business. And again, this will happen. And again, now, come back, stay there, don't move. You know, it's like maybe training a dog. And eventually the mind understands, okay, yes, that everything around us and even others around us are a mirror for me to check my level of self-sovereignty. Each situation we pass through is a chance to measure, am I still the owner of my peace of mind and my happiness? So whether you're praised or you're criticized, whether you do something, it's a huge thundering success, or it's a flop, it's a failure, whether you're the center of attention or everybody's ignoring you, the question still arises, am I still the owner of my peace of mind and my happiness? And I feel that if you can pass through all these challenges, praise, criticism, success, failure, etc., if you can pass through all of these with your self-respect intact, that is called a victory. And so to be able to do that, it's a question of awareness, keeping in my awareness what this whole study is about. We're not here to fix others. First and foremost, I'm here to pay attention to my own self, check my own self. One other image coming to my mind, which I think is an aspect of angelic intelligence, it's this, that there are generally three components in our lives. So in the Lokic life, first there is me, and then there is life, which means situations, people, circumstances. And when there is a problem, we think of God to help us out. So me, life, and God. Me, life, and God. But in this life, we are interchanging the positions of number two and number three. Me, Baba, and drama. We don't say life, we tend to say drama. Me, Baba, drama. Me, Baba, drama. And that's, I think, one way to summarize the whole effort is do not allow the drama to come in between you and Baba. And drama means everything, but absolutely everything that's happening outside. And when we make that into our way of living, me, Baba, drama, then drama begins to bow to you and honors you. And isn't that the stage that we saw in our dadis? You know, when we would meet them, we'd also feel that Baba is also there. Because they were so connected to Baba, you felt Baba's presence as well. Okay, so let's come to our first exercise now. Do you all have pen and paper? Yes, well, all right. Good students always have pen and paper, don't they? I guess that's a yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to be communicating with your own angelic form, right? The perfect you. But we are going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to do something called writing a letter. Does anybody remember something called writing letters before we all started, you know, going digital? So don't start yet. Let me just show how this is going to work. Alright, almost done. So, let's say this here, this represents your page. So So how would you write? You would of course write in whichever language you wish to. And I'm just going to demonstrate. So, for example, you may write, Dear Angel, and then your name. But don't write this. This is my name. We have to write your name. Okay? And then you write your letter. And what do you write? You write whatever you want to write. You write maybe what's in your heart. You write about some amazing thing that's happened for you. Maybe you write about some decision you need to make. Maybe something is bothering you. Whatever you want, it's your letter. And you are writing to the angel you, not to Brahma Baba, but to the perfect angelic stage of you. And then you sign it. Yours with love, yours however you wish to, with your name. Now, is it clear what we are doing? But before we do it, we're going to do a little visualization. So I'm going to speak out a little commentary. Sureshma Thurasa, instrumental music. So you can just have your back straight, your feet on the floor if that's comfortable for you. And if you wish, you can close your eyes for this particular exercise. So, firstly, just come to your seat at the center of the forehead. You, the point of light on your immortal throne at the center of the forehead. Thought in 1 second, you take yourself to the subtle region. To this world of divine light. You, the point of light in a body of light, in a world of light. And you feel very peaceful, very silent. To the distance, you can see a figure standing there, and from that figure you feel waves of pure love coming in your direction. These waves are magnetic, washing over you, and you feel a pull to walk towards this figure. you come closer and closer. You can feel the purity of the love coming from this being. You come closer and even closer. And now you realize that this is you. This is the perfect you. This is the angel you. This is the complete you. And you see in the angel a mind that is completely still. You stand face to face with the angel, eyes meeting eyes. You see in the angel an intellect that is stable and crystal clear. You see sanskaras which are divine and pure. You see a heart that is full of the purest love. And a sweet smile of contentment on the face. As you continue to exchange drishti with the angel you, now you feel a signal coming from the eyes of the angel. The angel is saying to you, what is in your mind? What is in your heart? Tell me. Share with me. What is in your mind? What is in your heart? Would you share with the angel you? So now take your pen and your paper, and in the form of a letter, just write what you would share with the angel you. Begin to sign off. So you wrote your letter, and some of you may have written just a few lines, some maybe a book or two. It's entirely up to you. And what did he write? He wrote what he wanted to write. That was in your mind, your heart. some challenges you're facing, some decision you have to make, some amazing thing that's recently happened for you. It's your letter. Now, when you write to a responsible individual, what does the responsible individual do? Writes back, yeah? Sends you a reply and doesn't make you wait too long. Now, the angel you is a highly responsible individual and is going to send you a reply. Just one little snag. The angel needs to use the arm which you are currently is on your body to write that reply letter back to you. In other words, now we're going to do the reply letter to the letter that you have just written. Right? So now how's that going to look? So of course you can use the other side of the paper if it's clean, or another sheet of paper, or if you don't have paper and pen, then just use the paper of your mind, I guess. So here will be, dear, and then your name. It's a direct reply to the letter that you have just written. And then will be the reply. And it will be signed by the angel and then your name. Okay, so it's the angel replying to the letter that you have just written to the angel. Is it clear? Yes? No? Yeah? Alright. So, once again, before we start, we do a little visualization. So again, Suresh Bhai, that same music was nice. Again, you may just close your eyes, sit with your back straight. And once again, just come to your immortal throne at the center of the forehead. With one thought, in 1 second, take yourself to the subtle regions, to the angelic world. You, the light, the beautiful light, once again in your body of light. All around, and there is only this pure divine light in all four directions. And again, in the distance, you see a figure standing there. And again you feel those very divine vibrations of love and comfort coming from that being. and you feel pulled to walk towards that being. You come closer and closer and now you can see the face and you recognize that yes, this is the angel you. You come closer and closer, face to face, eyes meeting eyes. And as you continue to exchange drishti with the angel you, now you become the angel. You are the perfect and complete angel. And standing in front of you is the current you. You, the angel, you are complete. You have gained total victory over all weaknesses. You have conquered every form of every vice. The battles are over. The struggles are finished. You have achieved victory. Your mind is free and perfectly peaceful. Your intellect is divine, crystal clear. And just your original pure sanskaras are naturally emerged. Your heart is content and you have the sweet smile of contentment on your face. And as you continue to look at the current you standing in front of you, through your eyes you give a signal. I have received your letter. I understand what is in your mind and heart. And now, here is my reply to you. I have received your letter. I understand what is in your mind and heart. And here is my reply to you. And so just take your pen and your paper and just allow the reply to be written. Don't think too much. Just start and allow it to flow. So now here comes the next part. Next part is I ask you to get together with two other people and just a little bit share how you felt doing these letters. You don't have to read your letters unless you want to. But just even just share how you felt. What was your experience of doing this exercise? So try to be with people you don't like. I mean people you don't know very well. So groups, small groups, groups of threes, for about 10 minutes, a little bit of sharing, expression of how you felt about this exercise. One minute more. Okay, if I could ask you to finish off your conversations there. And we come to the next part. So next part will require you to stand up. Will that be okay? Yeah. What a terrible thing to do. So, and we're going to practice some angelic drishti. Yeah, and so in silence. Suresh, maybe some music, please. And so you can just walk around as an angel, giving drishti to whoever passes you by. You can use this whole area here. You can also use these aisles here, in between the chairs. So angelic drishti means just good wishes, encouragement, upliftment, pure feelings, seeing the specialities in others. Clear? Alright, so come out from the chairs and you can use this whole area over here or the area in the aisles, just in silence, sharing angelic drishti with those who you pass by. Angel's heart is always clean and full of uplifting feelings. Everybody needs angels today, and Baba is bringing us to our full angelic stage. I, the angel, I receive Baba's light, Baba's love. I allow it to pass into me and through me, through my eyes, through my face. I radiate that most pure and divine energy of God's love, God's care, God's comfort. I, the angel, I see only the divine, the pure within another soul. Like a feather that gently touches another's face, my drishti touches the beauty within another soul, gently awakening the divinity within the other. You can slowly move back to the chair and sit down. So we're just going to end with 5 minutes of meditation. Okay, so let's just have 5 minutes meditation and then we wrap up.